Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
There's a question gaining momentum. Should former President Trump be barred from running again because of his attempts to undermine the 2020 election? Well, two conservative legal scholars, University of Chicago professor William Bode and University of St. Thomas professor Michael Stokes Paulson, say yes, because any public office holder must swear to uphold the Constitution, which in the third section of the 14th Amendment states, anyone engaged in insurrection or rebellion or given aid or comfort to those who have should be barred. Other conservative voices have joined in, including J. Michael Luttig, a former appeals court judge. There are lawsuits in Colorado and New Hampshire asking courts to take up that demand. Zach Beecham covers challenges to democracy for Vox. Zach, the conservative legal scholars base their thinking on the fact that the 14th Amendment is self-executing. Remind us what that is.
So a self-executing part of the Constitution means that it doesn't depend on an act of Congress to enact it. People just have to follow the rules.
It's like age. You have to be a certain age to run for president, and that's that.
That's right. So that means that on the theory that they advance, if somebody tried to get Donald Trump registered on a state ballot, they should be disqualified in the same way that somebody who's 18 years old trying to run for president, somebody who is not an American citizen running for president. And so they argue that based on the 14th Amendment, the exact same rule should apply to Donald Trump.
Well, and what about those who question, and they have, that he's not convicted yet?
So that's not how the Constitution works, right? Specifically, this 14th Amendment clause does not say anywhere that you need to have been convicted of engaging in insurrection or rebellion, right? It says have engaged in insurrection or rebellion against the United States or given aid and comfort to people who have done such a thing. So as is sort of very common in constitutional interpretation, Bode and Paulson, they go and they look at various different ways that one might have understood what those terms meant at the time that it was passed, which the 14th Amendment obviously was passed after the Civil War, and they had Confederates in mind. They weren't convicted of crimes. The whole point of this was to prevent them from reconstituting essentially the Confederacy after the Civil War. So if that didn't require a criminal conviction, then really what we need is just to look at what the people who wrote it, according to sort of originalist conservative methodology used in this paper, right, what they thought the terms insurrection and rebellion meant at the time. And basically, in their view, it covers any kind of large-scale unlawful resistance to government activity.
And many are now making the case that Donald Trump, he encouraged a plot to have false electors. He did not call the National Guard out on January 6th, which could have eased the situation sooner. Didn't do anything, really, to stop what was going on. And when he did come out to speak, it would seem as if he was giving comfort to those who were attacking the Capitol. We love you, was a statement he made.
That's right. You know, again, to continue with the Confederate analogy, imagine there had been a Union general that stood by and did nothing while Confederate forces ransacked, let's say, the White House. Under the definition laid out here, if they did that willfully because they seem to be sympathizing with the Confederate cause, certainly they should be essentially viewed as traitors who should be barred from holding office. And there's no doubt, really no doubt at all, that Donald Trump gave aid and comfort to enemies of the United States on that day from the facts that you laid out, right? I think that this part of the paper is fairly ironclad.
Well, but then, you know, more questions come. And you know about, I'm sure, the interview in The New Yorker in which, again, former judge, the very conservative former judge Luttig was asked, well, what about if you're asking state officials to do this, just take someone off the ballot? It's such a fragile time. Wouldn't it be okay if they, on a practical level, just said, we really can't afford to do this. Somebody has to convict him of something or Congress has to do something. And Judge Luttig said, these officials have a duty themselves under the Constitution and the laws of the U.S. to interpret them. It's not an option for them to abdicate that duty because of politics. You, though, write, as again some op-ed writers have, encouraging state election officials to go rogue and kick Trump off the ballot is a recipe for disaster.
Yeah, I mean, even if you believe all of the arguments in this paper or all the arguments that others have made that Trump should be disqualified on 14th Amendment grounds, which in my mind are very persuasive, I really think that there's a solid case being made here. It's also not a 100% ironclad case. In fact, there's some legal precedent to the contrary specifically an 1869 case.
Yes, this is a case after the Civil War in which a black man on trial said a white Confederate judge shouldn't even be in that seat judging him because of the 14th Amendment. Another white judge decided he couldn't side with the black plaintiff because it would be disruptive to side with a black man so soon after the Civil War. But that decision was racist.
Yeah, I think that that was a poorly reasoned case, and I don't think it ties the hands of judges today. But the fact of the matter is that there's some disagreement. So if you're asking state registrars, county-level judges, secretaries of state to start making these decisions, what you're doing is inviting all sorts of people to weigh in on a decision that it's not obvious that they're competent to make. What it does suggest is there would be some serious questions about the legitimacy of Trump's disqualification. And, you know, that can't be allowed to exercise a veto over anything, right? The fact that Republicans don't like that Trump is being prosecuted for crimes doesn't mean the prosecution shouldn't go forward, right? There's a lot of strength in that argument. But this is essentially taking an untested legal theory and applying it to try to get one of the two major candidates kicked off the ballot. And you should always be cautious about these kinds of things. You know, I don't really have a problem with people suing in order to try to get state administrators to do it, and then that case going presumably all the way up to the Supreme Court, or at least lower courts that would decide on it. But that's different than individual election administrators just deciding on their own to say, Donald Trump can't be on the ballot because of my read of the 14th Amendment. I get the arguments in favor of that, but it seems in the political context we live in, and given the severity of partisan disagreement, to truly be a recipe for profound conflict surrounding this election.
Let's be clear about what you're saying. You say kind of in effect that if this were to happen, because of Donald Trump's huge base of support and the lies they've been fed, my words, January 6th would be kind of like a picnic compared to what we might see. And then you have people like Judge Luttig saying that shouldn't be a reason to not follow the Constitution and hold somebody responsible for what is truly anti-democratic, which was supporting what could have been an overthrow of the country if they'd succeeded.
Yeah, you know, this is a very, very old problem in law, right? To what extent does the letter of the law mean that you have to do something that has profoundly negative or dangerous or destabilizing consequences, right? There's that famous line about how the Constitution isn't a suicide pact, but at the same time, you can't just violate the law whenever you feel like it. Now, I don't know if I have an answer other than you kind of have to exercise a little bit of discretion and judgment and prudence. Mm.
Zach Beauchamp, Vox senior correspondent, thank you so much.
Thank you.